This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment, which will include the system of divine metaphysics. The focus is truth, self-exam, correct, monitor, repeat, persevere. After sincere study on the generic topic of success, it becomes clear that the topic of this prayer treatment covers the primary elements that are required for success. The area of success is of little importance because these are generic and apply to every phase of success. Success can be measured in a number of ways, but it doesn't matter how you're measuring it. These are the primary elements that must be adhered to in order to gain it. It has been brought out in a number of prayer treatments over the last few years that we all need to strive to be a genius. What is a genius? It basically is comprised of the terms that are in this topic. Anyone who follows a system that includes these functions will become a genius. Because the number of individuals out of every 100 that do this, assuming all 100 are striving for success in a part or all phases of their life, or any number of a combo, over 99% fail. They flat out fail. Not because they didn't have a thought that they really want to be successful in one or more areas of their life, but because they don't realize the elements that are required and the discipline that must be exercised in order to bring it forth. It does not happen involuntarily, but only voluntarily. The burning desire that is required is far more than 99% of the people will contribute. Bicknell Young was considered very successful as a Christian Science practitioner, and he'd even been called by a number of people in the field that knew him to be the dean of Christian Science practitioners because of his success. He had a number of people that came to him for assistance in solving problems within their business. He had to send most of them away without offering any help whatsoever because they did not know their business. He said, if you don't know your business, Christian Science isn't going to help you. Christian Science is going to help reveal and guide you along your effort to bring it forth. But it has to be in the right sequence. You cannot help Christian Science to solve a problem when you have not taken the human steps to their maximum to do everything that should be done. And that includes self-education in the areas in which you're having a problem. Mary Baker Eddy stated that Jesus was able to step into divinity out of humanity because he had maximized humanity. He communicated on the level that the individual he was talking to could understand. And he practiced the laws of the universe by living them, and the results would come automatically. But as Mary Baker Eddy states in her 39 household topics, which she required her household to study daily, one of them, the one at the very top, the very first one, says, wait for your reward. It behooves us to begin any serious study with the three introductory quotes at the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. 1, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus. 2, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. The first one certainly seems obvious enough. Are we searching for truth, or are we searching to justify our own opinion? The second one, do we realize that anything that we accept into our consciousness is going to be our experience? Number 3, the Bible says that we need to pray without ceasing. Mary Baker Eddy obviously lived her prayer. Her prayer was probably everything connected. So you could either say singular or plural. She lived them. That's why she was blessed. Her prayer was to abide with the laws of the universe, which are the laws of God. Since God is the only source and the manifestation is the manifestation of God, which is included as the source. They go together. They cannot be segregated. They are unified unequivocally. Cannot be separated or broken, delayed, diluted. They're connected permanently, always. Right here and now. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the most successful practitioners of all time, next to Mary Baker Eddy and Christ Jesus, and a couple of other very excellent ones, he had 15-minute appointments, as did two others that we are aware of, Wentworth Winslow and Joel Goldsmith. And at the end of the 15 minutes, the patient was healed. How could he do that? Because he had a clear understanding of God and man and the relationship. Therefore, just being in his presence transformed consciousness. And he only needed to remind the patient about that fact, that there is only one consciousness. And if we let go of individual bias, preconceived notions, limitations, and so forth, then the entire unlimited infinitude is open for our progress. And time is not a factor. He demonstrated how to go back in time during his healings. If someone had a problem for 20 years, he could go back to the moment that they first became aware they had a problem and heal it at that time, which means that everything from then until the present would have disappeared from consciousness. Think about it. What is going back in time mean? It means you can change anything after the time that you're experiencing at the moment. We all have a DNA based on a human birth, but that can be changed. That really predetermines our life. Frederick L. Rawson proved that it could be changed through Christian Science treatment, and because of his experience with Christian Science treatment and his knowledge of electricity, he measured the electrical charges in the body before and after a successful treatment. And he found that before, there were all kinds of conflicts, and afterwards, the negative charges had been shorted out. They were eliminated. Harmony was restored instantaneously when he would go back in time and heal. He did it over 500 times, according to his own testimony. One of the statements that he made at the beginning of the treatment, and this is explained fully on the website, and one of the statements he made was that there is nothing impossible to God. In other words, everything is possible. Overcoming time is possible. He opened his thought to that infinitude of unlimited possibilities at the beginning. He approached everything in a way that was testing it to see if it worked. If it worked, he used it. If it didn't, he would toss it or modify it, as he was led to do through his own treatments for himself. Mary Baker Eddy points out the importance of protecting our thought from involuntary influences. This would include things such as universal belief. A strong universal belief these days is that we were all born a sinner. And that's based upon what happened at 325 AD at a council between the churches and three governments. And it was decided that the government would be in charge of sickness, disease, and death, and the churches would be in charge of forgiving sins. Well, they all failed. The government failed miserably, and the churches failed equally miserably, because everyone was basing their information on chapter 2 of Genesis about the story of Adam and Eve, where the whole thing was conceived in sin. No morality, but instead depravity. You can check on page 115 and 116 to see exactly the definition of those terms. Do we want to be a genius? It's not something that you just have a desire for. Mary Baker Eddy points out that it's easy to desire something, but to obtain it is a different story. She says this about the value of Christian Science in one's life. It's under the title of Practical Science, on page 128 in the textbook. The term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to His government of the universe, inclusive of man. From this it follows that businessmen and cultured scholars have found that Christian Science enhances their endurance and mental powers, enlarges the perception of character, gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness, and an ability to exceed their ordinary capacity. The human mind, imbued with this spiritual understanding, becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself, and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. An odor becomes beneficent and agreeable only in proportion to its escape into the surrounding atmosphere. So it is with our knowledge of truth. If one would not quarrel with his fellow man for waking him from a cataleptic nightmare, he should not resist truth, which banishes, yea, forever destroys, with the higher testimony of spirit, the so-called evidence of matter. Does it sound like it's worth it to make effort to understand Christian Science? Totally will transform one's life. Improve everything about it. Every department. Every phase. No matter what the level is, it will enable a reduction of the limitation and an increase in the possibilities. Is there another book in the world besides the Bible that can claim that? And Science and Health explains the Bible. Most people that read the Bible do not have any major consistency in change in their life, because so much of it is written in terms that cannot be understood unless you have an advanced spiritual understanding of true reality. What is one of the biggest differences between an average performer and a genius? I will recite to you very important two paragraphs from Science and Health. The first one is on page 146. System of Divine Metaphysics. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now on page 330, she discusses the platform, which consists of 32 planks, which is the meat of the system of divine metaphysics. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And then from pages 330 to 340, are the 32 planks with the complete text of each one. Everything that is being brought forth here is on the website. 32 planks, that's the platform on which we can stand to build our individual future. And when we stick to spirit as being the primary substance and the primary motivator of everything we do instead of matter, the possibilities are without limit. The definition of God on page 465. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587 in the glossary, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And the definition of good on the same page, G-O-O-D. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. And omniscience is defined as omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. The definition of man on page 591. The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. The definition of mind from page 469. Mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God, good, is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error, without intelligence or reality. There can be but one mind, because there is but one God. And if mortals claimed no other mind and accepted no other, sin would be unknown. We can have but one mind, if that one is infinite. We bury the sense of infinitude when we admit that although God is infinite, evil has a place in this infinity. For evil can have no place where all space is filled with God. Has it occurred to one that is interested in success in any field to study and master time management, goal management? What is the absolute first thing that one needs to do to be successful in anything whatsoever? Most people will fall off of their chair if they're sitting down to hear this, but it's absolutely a fact that you cannot refute if you want to be truly successful at a very high level. You must forget about yourself and what is important to you, and think about the idea in terms of individuals. Who should you be devoting your attention to? The one you see in the mirror? Or everyone else? Everyone else. If you do not cultivate a total life of giving, you will be stopped in your tracks because you are practicing the opposite of the golden rule. If there's two words that could describe Christian Science, besides of the two that Mary Baker Eddy blessed us with, Christian Science, what would they be? Two words. Golden rule. It is required. If you do not have the interest of others deep down within you, you will not make progress that is exceptional. It cannot happen. Because if we're not thinking about others, we're thinking about the one that we see in the mirror. If we try to heal a problem, should we focus on cultivating our understanding of the solution or the problem? Where should our focus be? If it's on the problem, we better remember what Einstein says. He says you cannot solve a problem on the same level as where the problem occurred. It could be above it or below it, but it's not on the same level. Because the solution is not where the problem is. The solution is elevating thought outside of the limitation of where the problem was discovered. And that could be going up or going down. It's always going to be on a different level. Mary Baker Eddy had a following of millions of people throughout the world. She was only involved in two branch churches, the Mother Church in Boston and the church in Concord, New Hampshire, where she lived 16 glorious years before she moved back to Boston in order to start the Christian Science Monitor. That was about 1906 or 7. And she left in visible form in 1910. A woman could not vote, could not hold title to property. She had very little rights. And yet, churches all over the world were started by the local people, not by the bureaucracy in Boston, not by Mary Baker Eddy. The word of the healing passed throughout the world, permeated, I guess I should say, permeated throughout the population of the world, and they wanted to be involved. So they got together locally. They could not use the bylaws of the Mother Church. They had to have their own bylaws. They had to have everything on their own elections on who the reader would be and the readers and the board of directors and so forth. She didn't want to write a manual that gave guidelines on governing the Mother Church. But she had no choice because they were getting out of hand almost immediately after she started the church. The second church, the first church, was she disbanded because she could see that bureaucracy was going to ruin it. And finally, after several years, she yielded to the pressure of the population who needed to have an organization. They weren't willing to just go out on their own like they do in mathematics or in music. There's no church of music or church of mathematics. There shouldn't be a Church of Christian Science. There needs to be a publishing facility that publishes things that anyone can read that desires to do it, including testimonies from themselves. So a publishing department needs to be in existence. And it would be great if the Monitor were vibrant like it used to be, because she saw a tremendous need to be able to have a media organization, because the mainstream media was not honest about Christian Science. She realized the only way she could promote Christian Science worldwide would be if she started the Christian Science Monitor. So that's what she did. Einstein made the comment about Mary Baker Eddy. He said, imagine a woman 80 years ago discovered the truth. He said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. He also said, after a thorough study of the book, religion without science is blind, and science without religion is lame. He knew what the problem was with all the physicists that tried to figure out the root notions of how the world came about and what governs it. How do all these stars stay up there and rotate around various things without crashing into each other all the time? He knew that you couldn't work on the basis of matter being the substance, because it was beyond the scope of matter to function in a harmonious manner. It had to be spirit. His friend, last name of Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission during World War II, where they were trying to figure out how to destroy civilization with a nuclear bomb. Everyone on that commission, except for his friend, Dr. Underwood, passed on from radiation. That should have been a clue that they shouldn't have been doing it. But no, the government was so greedy and wanted to control everyone in the world. It was really the UK who was controlling the US that did it. So they cut off the energy to Japan, starving them to death, until Japan had no choice but to bomb the U.S. So they did it on purpose. They cut off the energy to Japan on purpose to get them to bomb us. It was all known in advance where they were going to hit and everything else. It was all pre-planned. There was not any significant wars while Mary Baker Eddy was active on planet Earth. And what happened after she left in 1910? The Federal Reserve was started from the UK to control the money for America. The income tax was begun in 1913. They had complete control of our judicial system, the UK did. Lawyers sign their name Esquire, and they swear, or they did until she passed on here in the last few years, they swore to the Queen of England. She was in control, I think, something like 75 years or so, maybe more. Yeah, they swore to the Queen of England and signed their name Esquire. All the judges, everybody, were under the control of the UK. Mary Baker Eddy said that if Christian Scientists don't do their work, we would face the cliff. And it would depend on what we do at that point, whether or not civilization goes into the darkest, deepest, dark ages that civilization has ever known, or whether we work out of it. Fortunately, the President of the United States is solving the problems, along with an alliance of some 100 different countries. We cannot quit. We cannot give up. We cannot give in. Edmund Burke, over 200 years ago, said, "Evil triumphs when good men do nothing." Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. They know what to do. They know it needs to be done. Only a few people do the right thing out of every 100. Only a few. Everyone else is a sheep. They want the other person to do everything to save them, to save the world. They want, you know, the average person is a sheep. They just want someone else to do it. Life of giving. Are we interested in giving for the benefit of humanity? Or do we have to give only what we think we will receive back? And we hope we receive a lot more back than we have to give. Did Solomon fear giving? He became the wealthiest man in the world. How did he do it? How did Sam Walton do it with Walmart? Sam Walton did nothing but give, give, give. He shopped to get the lowest price on his products so he could offer them at the lowest price to the consumer. He gave a customer service that no one had ever heard of before. Bring anything back, anytime, for any reason, and we'll give you a full refund. There is not a retail organization that ever had done that before. At least that were any size that was published where you could tell that that's what was being done. That was his motto. Customer satisfaction. That's how he built the largest retail organization in the world. Unfortunately, he's not around and hasn't been for a long time, and the family did not follow his path. I rarely visit a Walmart. If we don't have a primary motive of helping others, and we can do it in many ways. Giving money is only one way, and we caution you never to give money to a large non-profit organization. Never. The wealthiest man in the world right now, everybody knows who he is. He sends rockets up. He brought out the Tesla electric car. He said that he devotes his time in thinking about new businesses to determine what problem needs to be solved that has never been solved before. How about that? How about that for an incentive for a new project or a new product? He wants to solve problems that have never been solved before. Had anyone ever launched a rocket and brought it back and landed it in the launching pad? No. He was the first. The first one he did was, what, a year ago or more? He saved a lot of money instead of crashing it. Mary Baker Eddy accomplished so much more than any other woman in history, and we could probably rightfully say any other man. Certainly the value of what she gave to humanity is greater than anyone else in the world, even greater than Jesus, because Jesus didn't have any record of anything he did. Various people wrote down things, and they didn't even have ways to record it very well, and much of what he did was only carried forward through verbal conversations of generation after generation. Mary Baker Eddy, of course, had the printing press already discovered. There wasn't any copying facility or computers or cell phones or any of that kind of thing, or scanners or cameras. But what she did was worth even more because she explained the science of what Jesus did. Most people have never understood what he did. They don't even understand that he's not God. Very common in Christian churches to believe that Jesus is God, even though he said himself, when the Pharisee asked him, how can he obtain eternal life? He said, good master, show me how I can obtain eternal life. Jesus says, why call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. And then he answered the question. The Pharisee didn't like the answer because he was wealthy, had a lot of material assets. And Jesus said, sell all your wealth and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. That's how you can obtain eternal life. Instead of doing that, he went off angry. He said, no, I'm not going to give up everything that I've got. I'm very happy with all these things. I just want to keep them forever. Who are we really interested in if we want to be successful? Who are we really interested in if we want to be a genius? The one we see in the mirror? Probably. Does money bring happiness? How many wealthy people do you know that express a lot of joy in their lives? It's not common among wealthy people. Joy is not common among wealthy people. What is probably more common is worry. A very successful writer who does documentaries, ones of great interest to Americans, his name is a household word. He gets several $1 million every time he writes a new book. It showed a documentary about his life. He lives in a modest home in an isolated area away from cities and so forth, up in the Northeast. He said that when he gets a big check for a book, he can't wait to get rid of the money. He says he can't even think straight when he has a lot of money. Takes totally away from his originality in doing his research for his documentary books. He had one document series he did on the West, you know, how the West was won and so forth. That's not the name of it. But it was like a 12-part TV series. And in fact, I think they made 12 videos. I used to have them. Very interesting. It was a worry to him when he had a lot of money. He was too intelligent just to give money. He made contributions that had very tough restrictions on it. They had to use it for a particular thing. It didn't say whether he was involved to make sure it happened, but there was agreement, an agreement involved where they had to do it. He probably had somebody that monitored what they were doing and so forth. It didn't get into those details. Andrew Carnegie, he sold his business back around 1900, and it was renamed U.S. Steel, and he got something like $300 or $400 million for it. At that time, he was one of the wealthiest people in the U.S., and he spent the rest of his life giving it away. But he didn't give money. He built buildings. Buildings in universities. Carnegie Hall is named after him in New York. He made sure that it would have lasting value. One thing he could have done a little better is to not have his name on everything, but he wanted it. He wanted credit for what he was doing, which is customary humanity. That's the brain talking, ego. But he did a lot of wonderful things. Carnegie Hall is a wonderful place to hear very special concerts. Are we really serious about wanting to be a genius, wanting to be successful in anything? We should not do anything unless we're going to excel. This doesn't mean compared to other people. This means compared to what perfection is for that particular activity. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything at all. We want to excel at what the idea offers as different ways to excel. And if you're like the wealthiest man, you're going to break new limits. You're going to break into new areas where no one has been before. He estimates that he's 10 years ahead of any other country that is involved in putting rockets up in space because of him solving the problem of bringing one back and landing it in the original launching pad. Einstein was asked if he had 1 hour to solve a problem, and if he solved it, it would save millions of lives. How would he use the 1 hour? He said, I would use 55 minutes to figure out the right question to answer and 5 minutes to solve the problem. How much time do we use to plan to figure out the right question? What is the result we're looking for? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It also says the end is at the beginning. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the idea. Frederick L. Rawson says that when it says there's nothing new under the sun, he says things that are new to us is just a rearrangement of truth in some way that reveals to us a new way to use what's always been true. He gave us a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and it includes a chapter called Applied Treatment, and in it are 1,315 different ailments. Well, there's a few that are the same only because different people had a healing on the same type of problem. But, you know, around 1,315 different ones. It's 1,315 total. And he treated his knowledge about each one of those until he had the metaphysical solution on how to heal the problem. It's all in alphabetical. It's an index. It's easy to find any problem that you want that you feel you need to solve. But it's highly recommended you don't read that chapter from beginning to end, because then you will only embed in your thought 1,315 approximate problems. You may as well go to med school and study a medical dictionary that instills in your thought all the problems that medical doctors are trying to cure. Is the practice of medicine a science or an art? Have you ever heard anyone said that they don't like what the doctor said, so they're going to get another opinion? It's public. It's in videos. It's in movies. It's in documentaries. It happens every day. So is it a science or an art? Christian Science is a science. Mathematics is a science. You can multiply 2 times 15, and I can multiply 2 times 15, or 15 times 2, and we both get the same answer. Because it's not an art. It is a science. It has fixed rules. Christian Science has fixed rules. It's called the System of Divine Metaphysics. And I read you the definition from page 146 and further information on page 330. It has elements, which are the 7 synonymous terms. It has the 4 operators, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And it has 4 levels of understanding, which are on page 115 and 116. The lowest is depravity, which is mortal mind. The next one is morality, which is mortal mind. The next one up is spirituality, which is mortal mind. And the top one is immortal, and that is God, idea, and God's image and likeness, man. 4 levels. And if you don't understand what level that you are trying to understand in a sentence, then you're not going to get the right understanding. And when you read it again, you can have a higher, newer understanding from the same words that you read previously. On the home page right now, it is filled with a presentation on effective healing. We tell you how to do it, step by step. And the more of the 5 senses, seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste, the more of those you use, the more you will learn and understand and remember. If you don't use all 5 senses, if you cut a single thing out of the procedure that we give you, you are cutting out part of the success that you could enjoy. Most people won't do it because it requires discipline. Mary Baker Eddy said, "Follow me only as far as I follow the Christ." She's talking about the Christ consciousness of God, who Jesus was the best example of. That's why he was given the title of Christ Jesus, because he did the best job. Where do we stand? Are we following the Christ? If you don't take every step that we have enumerated, then you're going to miss something. Although, who knows? You may come up with a better idea. But whatever you do, you better test it and make sure it works. We know this works. There's 486 testimonies of the last 101 pages of the textbook that proves that something not as good as what we're recommending works. We recommend something better because we have more tools available now, where we can use more of the 5 senses now. We didn't have those things available when Mary Baker Eddy wrote that 115 years ago. In 1910, that was the last edition of Science and Health that she authorized. If you use anything more current than that one, you are getting boondoggled. You're getting tricked. Because the board of directors of the church in Boston constantly make changes to whatever they want to do. The first thing they did when Mary Pacoretty went around the corner where she was no longer seen is take her picture out of her own textbook. They've done everything possible to get rid of her. They are so unsaintly jealous. They were all run by men, and men couldn't stand that they had to take instructions from a woman when a woman couldn't even vote or hold title to a property. They all had a big internal problem because they couldn't stand that a woman was in charge of them. So they immediately took her picture out of the book. And then they illegally got it copyrighted. They made some changes to it and got it copyrighted on the basis that it's a little different than what it was before. One is, it didn't have the photograph. They changed around the last testimony on page 700, and they put it four or five pages before that. They made many changes in the textbook. It's all been documented. And we have that book on our website that tells all about it. We are so fortunate to be able to take advantage of the current technology of scanning and copying and recording and listening to the recording and doing our own recording, put our own thoughts in recording, listening to those. Mary Pacoretty studied the textbook herself because it was dictated to her by God. She had to learn what she wrote because she wrote what was dictated to her. We are so blessed to have the tools available to give us total independence. Remember, she says, follow me only as far as I follow the Christ, the God consciousness, which is the same consciousness that Jesus followed. Is there another religion in the world that is so humble from its leaders? And the leaders are not the board of directors. The leaders all disappeared after Mary Pacoretty passed. That's the people I'm talking about as the leaders. In fact, I'm talking basically one, Mary Pacoretty. The complete procedure is under Effective Healing and also under the titles How to Heal Everything. There are links to all of those on the homepage. We don't compare ourselves to any other website purposely. Maybe by accident we do, but we don't mean to. We don't try to promote any personality, even Mary Pacoretty. We promote everything she did, not a personality. She had to stop people calling her mother because they were making her a personality. She let them do it for a number of years, and she finally realized that that needed to stop. She was going to do a complete biography of her life, and she stopped the individual that was working on it. She said, no, I don't want to do it. I want to get rid of the personality. The title to this prayer treatment is Truth. Self-exam, correct, monitor, repeat, and persevere. Every hour, Mary Pacoretty did the self-exam to make sure she kept on track and was not condemning anyone. Dr. Fluno gave us an article that is beautiful on criticism. In fact, on the home page, we have a music from Elvis Presley. He says, before you criticize walk 1 mile in my shoes. Do we walk in someone else's shoes before we criticize? Dr. Fluno says criticism leads to all evil. All. Every evil stems from criticism. Because what happens when we criticize? We're criticizing God. Because everyone in their true spiritual nature is an image and likeness of God. If we're criticizing them, we're criticizing God. We're criticizing our brother or sister, or our child, or whoever. We're all one family. There's one Father, Mother, God. On page 16 and 17, where she gives the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven." Mary Baker Eddy says that the spiritual sense of that is our Father, Mother, God. All harmonious. How about the scientific statement of being? That is such a powerful thought that the Institute knows of a number of people that have utilized that and substituted words or supplemented words to personalize it or individualize it. Where it says there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, and if they just broke their arm, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of a broken arm. And carry that same theme throughout the whole scientific statement of being. We know of people that have been healed by doing exactly that. They did it in earnest. They didn't just say the words. They had to get a thorough understanding by getting the thought deep embedded in their consciousness. So that when they had a pain, or they saw it in a mirror or wherever, that they declared the truth about themselves instead of accepting the visible appearance. Mary Baker Eddy says that when we find the right truth to heal the problem, we need to repeat it until the visible outward appearance agrees with what we are declaring. It's not reading something, it is internalizing it and introducing it to your brain, because the brain has a very big ego and does not want to accept anything new. So it has to be educated. This is why the mainstream media keeps saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Because they write a script and they give it to all of the mainstream media and they all say the same thing. The exact words. The exact words. I mean, that ought to be a clue. Any two people don't say the exact same words if they're looking at the same thing at the same moment. If you've ever played that game where someone writes down on a piece of paper a short message and gives it to one person standing in a line and says, pass this, read it, and then pass it on. Or don't pass on the paper. They say, read it, and then verbally tell the one next to you what it says. You know, it's just like one sentence. It's so very easy to remember. So they do it, and they pass it on down to the end of the line. And then they have the last person write down on a piece of paper what it is that they were told. And then they bring out the piece of paper that they told to the first person in the line. And typically the stories are totally different. Totally different. So after it passes through a few people, it gets changed so much that you couldn't even hardly recognize that it was the same thing. And yet, that's what the Bible has. Many parts of the Bible were handed down verbally before they ever got down to be recorded in stone. And I had to chisel this stuff out in stone in many cases. We have every opportunity, but if we follow the path of a human, we're going to fail. If we follow the path of a divine nature, we will succeed with flying colors. But we have to start by having the right attitude and cultivate a life of giving. Be creative in the ways you can give. Maybe you know someone that needs a job and you can give them a job. Maybe not what they're looking for, but maybe cleaning your house or taking care of your yard or whatever. Maybe they need food. You can go shopping and show them how to buy food at a grocery store that is using their wisdom instead of just buying whatever is a pre-made TV dinner, which is trash, usually. There are places where they have outdoor markets, and they sell the food fresh from the source, which are local farmers, at up to a third of the price of what they are in the store. Bananas, buying it locally, is anywhere from 8 to 15 cents a pound, or a kilo. That's for 2.2 pounds. Anyway, the price is a fraction of what it is in the store. Typically, when I go to the store, it's like three times the price. We need to use all of the qualities of God in everything we do. We've given extensive prayer treatments on how to do all that. And we're already over an hour here, so I'm going to bring it to a close. And truth is the primary synonymous term that we focused on, although we've covered all of them. So I'm going to read to you a prayer by Mary Baker Eddy that she gave to her most advanced class in 1898. And it's called Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Truth. And here it is. If there's any lingering thought that comes forth while I'm reciting this, I will tack it on after I say amen. And I'll also give you the date and the time that we are completing this prayer treatment. So here is the prayer treatment entitled Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Truth, by Mary Baker Eddy. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the word of God. Amen. It is Sunday, May 31, at 15:12 in the afternoon, which is 3:12 for 12-hour clock people. The topic of this extemporaneous prayer treatment is the synonymous term number 6, which is truth, and the focus has been on self-exam, corrections, monitoring, repeating, and persevering along a path of infinite progression, working toward concrete being in order to be successful in every wholesome endeavor we undertake. and putting first everyone else, cultivating a life of giving in every direction. No bars hold. Thank you for listening. The end.